Hi, guys. Welcome back to the podcast. This week, we have on Coach Connie Nightingale. Connie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
So yeah, last year we met at the True Coaches Conference and really enjoyed following your content over last year. So I want to bring you on and kind of talk about your background and how you use a slightly different approach with clients in terms of functional medicine and everything. So just, yeah, if you want to give a quick background for the audience.
Okay, well, first, we have to back up a little. You're like, I enjoy your content, but it's like chickens and farming. And every once in a while, I get on a health rant and come out of my shell, and then I retract back into my cave. So, I'm not great at that.
We would have chickens if I didn't live in the city. Like, I aspire to own chickens someday, but it's like, in the city, it's just too much of a hassle.
People don't realize how entertaining they are, but yeah.
Oh, anyway. I know, yeah.
So background, it is complicated, and I've been through, as many of us, many ebbs and flows, but the short end of it was about 12 years ago, I had to make a drastic change in my son's diet for some health purposes. Mm-hmm. And what I found out during those drastic changes is that I probably needed them as much as he did. Mm-hmm. And so we basically completely rehabbed our nutrition, and I had always thought I was healthy. I was active and all the things, but I kept gaining weight, couldn't figure it out, you know. Mm-hmm. And we changed our diet. I would say it's called the GAPS diet, if you've ever heard of it. Mm-hmm. Yep. Super duper strict, worked amazing. I'm a believer. Can most people sustain that kind of dieting? I don't think so. That would be where my mindset has changed around things over the last decade. But we changed our diet. It changed my life, basically. And we were always, like I said, healthy before, active. We have a ranch. We are doing all the things, snowboarding, outdoors. I didn't work out at the time, but I was so active. Who needed to? That was my thought, right? Anyway, so we ended up changing our diet, and it ended up changing not just his life, but my husband and I's as well. Like about 3 weeks in, my husband's like, man, my back doesn't hurt anymore. And I was like, yeah, my wrists don't hurt anymore. You know, like all these things started popping up. And next thing you know, I'm like losing weight like crazy. I ended up losing about 80 pounds. And yeah, and it was pretty wild because I remember the day that I put on a pair of size 6 jeans, and I was a size 14 when I had started the diet. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see myself as overweight until I go back and look at pictures and stuff now. But I remember putting on this pair of like size 6 jeans and being like, holy crap, I don't think I've ever been this small. And I was healthy and I felt great and I had no pain and I was able to go do things that I hadn't been able to do in a long time, things that I didn't even realize were bothering me. So that's something I always try to tell people is, they're like, well, I feel fine and what I'm doing is working, but it's like, really, is it? Because how many people live in a smoker's house or grandma's house that smells like cat pee and they don't notice these things until they leave and come back, or they go to visit one of those houses and they smell it, but grandma and your smoker friend doesn't. And that's kind of how our body is, right? So it opened up a lot of things for me, and I started to get healthy. Then I got into bodybuilding, which is the opposite of healthy. Then this is where I say there's a lot of ebbs and flows, right? And we've learned lots of lessons along the way. However, during all of this process, I learned there were a lot of holes in the health industry, and especially in bodybuilding, it brought a lot of that to light. And I was watching these women and their hormones were being totally tanked during contest prep. And then they had no support on the backside, and you were seeing this crazy metabolic chaos, myself included. So
the post-show rebound is so brutal.
Oh yeah. And I went through it. I did about 5 shows. So I was hardcore for a couple of years, and my body never got a break, and it ended up being real bad at the end. So I started watching these things, and the funny thing is I'm terribly competitive, and I'll admit this about myself. I knew everything I was doing was wrong, but I kind of just got that screw it, I'll fix it later approach. And I'm highly competitive, and I'm just like, I'll fix it later, right? So anyway, I learned a lot through that experience, and then I learned that I need to figure this stuff out because women need support in this. I mean, some males too, but it was mostly the female industry that I was targeting at the time. And I absolutely never considered I would be quitting my career. I was in dentistry for 14 years, never considered I would be making a career change. And I started getting in this crazy rabbit hole with things to where I couldn't stop. I was reading every book. I was diving down every certification. I was taking every mentorship class. Like, it got crazy, right? My whole life was consumed by this for years. And then I started, like, obviously applying these metrics to people and dabbling in coaching. And next thing you know, I'm changing my mind about things that I learned, you know, 5 years. And now we're into this a decade, and I have a whole different outlook on things based on trends. So I got really deep into a lot of rabbit holes, but the lab work one is definitely a large proportion of what I do. And I started seeing things repeatedly happen based on what I would apply to help somebody make changes. It kind of became my own science project, if you will. And so then I started to change my mind about things again. And it was probably about 6 years in when this started to happen. And I was like, oh, I see all these trends, and I track everything on spreadsheets, and I have people that work with me long term, short term, you name it. But we usually almost always do follow ups, and I could see what moves the needle and what doesn't. I also started seeing what happens when people go on HRT and what happens when they change certain nutrition, like keto, carnivore, paleo, counting only macros, eating just clean. You know, I start seeing all these things. How much exercise you do, what does that do? What does our mental health do? Like, it was crazy, right? So I basically have been running this science experiment for the last decade, and it has made me change my mind about everything that we've been educated with. And much of it aligns with, like, the foundation of things, but how we approach them has completely changed. So that's kind of the backstory on things.
Well, and I remember seeing one of your posts on that, because that really is true coaching, right? It's actually evolving. I mean, it's, no one gets this right like from day one of coaching. Like, the whole point of coaching is, yeah, you'll probably have some base tenets that you stick with over your career, but there's a lot of things we realize, like, oh, I thought this was the be all end all, and this doesn't work anymore. Like, I always use the example of, like, the FMS. I took the FMS for a while. I was religious with it, and I probably haven't used it now in, like, 6 years. Cause, like, there's, you know, there's still things I absorb from it, but, you know, I don't need to, like, fully implement that system to realize, like, just cause someone can't do one random pushup doesn't mean they can't do a bench press, for example. It's like figuring out those little things over time. And again, that's why as coaches, we need to be tracking what we're doing, cause that's how we spot those trends. It's you're not going to have it figured all out unless you're, like, looking at it on a broad spectrum.
Absolutely. And it's just like anything where you can't manage what you don't measure. And I think that's been something that I have repeated for years and years now. Like, how do we truly know what's moving the needle unless we're managing and measuring these things, right? So that's been a huge thing, and everybody's so different. So, like you said, if you can't do a push-up, then you shouldn't be able to bench press. Well, there is anatomy and physiology involved with a lot of this stuff. And I'm in many spaces now, because fitness is like I'm very passionate about all of it. I'm passionate about movement. I'm passionate about training. I'm passionate about nutrition and mind health and all this stuff. Right. But the thing is you see people, like, saying you need to be upright in your squat. Well, they're not paying attention to biomechanics. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that's just another example. So we are all physiologically and biomechanically different. So what might work for Karen down the street is not going to work for myself or you. Yeah. So these are all things that we have to learn with our clients as well. And that's where working with a coach for a period of time can also be exponentially helpful to somebody's success, because they're able to see these trends and what works for Karen and what doesn't work for Karen. So,
well, and that's exactly why I think, like, an experienced coach matters is, you know, in the beginning, you just know what your NASM told you or whatever. And, you know, you coaches, everyone's the exact same. And the longer you coach, again, as long as you're an evolving coach, you start to realize, like, oh, like this cue works for some people, but when I see this, then I need to adjust and do that. It's the little things you start to pick up over time. You start to realize different patterns or different, you know, exercises you like for some people and you don't like them for others. It's all an evolving thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I mean, I'll take that one step further. You're able to see how much people are able and willing to apply, because giving somebody a huge plan that's, and I see this happen, people get driven away from trying to achieve a goal because they get a mount. They see the whole mountain. They don't just see the first 10 feet. Yep. And so you see this all the time where people will give these people the perfect plan. Well, yeah, it might be the perfect plan, but is it the perfect plan for Karen? Because she's got five kids and she's running soccer and she's working 80 hours a week and all the things. What can Karen truly sustain, and where can we start so she develops these wins over time and gets better? Is it going to be fast to do it that way? No, but sometimes that's not the best way to do thing, because like I said the other day, if you saw my post, I was like, people are so in a hurry that they forget, you know, I use the analogy, if you were given $1 a day, you'd be given $365 a year. And you'd be like, sweet. But if you only looked at the first 3 days, you're like, I only got $3. This is stupid. And then you quit. Yep. You're not ever giving yourself that opportunity to make the $365. Yep. So many people, even slow progress is still progress. So many people, they go into it too much, and coaches do this as well. Then you have people that are not successful because they quit. Yep. So,
and it is such a tricky balance, because I've found some clients, like, they need a certain amount at the beginning to, like, for them to get their buy-in, even though you know that ultimately what that person needs is exactly like you said, like starting super small and like maybe we add a habit to that each week. But for some reason, people can't start at all unless they feel like it's enough. And I think that's where, again, coaching comes in, of explaining to them, like, I know this doesn't seem like enough now, but like you said, if we just add to this, like, Dan John had this great story about some guy who lost like 100 pounds in a year. And literally for the first, I think, 3 months, the only habit change he made is he'd have one glass of water every single day. Cause like that was something he knew he could do no matter what, even if sometimes it was like 11:50 at night, he's slamming that. But from building that, it built, instilled in him the idea that like he could keep building upon this, like just small sustainable habits. It's, again, everyone wants to do the quit smoking, start working out 6 times a week, eat clean vegan or whatever. And it's like, you're not going to sustain that for more than like 3 weeks of just night or just holding on to it. Like it's not a sustainable thing.
Mm-hmm. That's like the carnivore, the person that's like, I've been doing carnivore for a year, and then like, oh, I went out for beers with my girlfriend. It's like, Okay, that's this not is carnivore. A prime example. So yeah, that's how that works, I suppose.
No, exactly. It's just learning that the slow and steady approach is almost always the better approach, I think, is so helpful for people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And actually, it kind of goes back to one of the questions I would have had, is you did a post recently too on like the difference between foundations and hacks. And again, I think a lot of people do. That's exactly, it's like they want to start doing keto or some little thing like that, because I think you can cheat the system. And again, whether you're doing Ozempic or doing any other little thing, it's like we still need a foundation of habits. Like nothing overrides that. I wanted to have you speak on that a little more.
Absolutely. And I think that's a good one. And I think you used a good thing there, like Ozempic, GLP-1s, like that's a huge talk right now. And you have this crazy diverse thought process on this, where people are like, no way, you're cheaters. You know, yada yada. And then you've got other people that are like, yes, absolutely, because this person's unhealthy anyways. So, and I'm a little on that train, but the train that I'm not on, so this is the prime example, is yes, we are being able to change their weight and we are being able to help them be successful. However, they're not learning any of the things that it takes to continue that journey further down the road. So if you have a chauffeur your whole life, yes, you're going to get from point A to point B. But are you ever going to learn how to drive the car? Like if the zombie apocalypse happens, you're in deep trouble, right? You can't save yourself. So, I think, and the other thing is yes, you can feel, it can be a catalyst for success for sure. Like once somebody is able to start making progress, especially in these cases of morbid obesity, they're going to feel better. They're going to be more willing to do more things. And I think there are things that are fantastic about it.
Yep.
But at one point, they need to have something implemented to where they can learn to take it further in their journey. And it's that way with so many things.
Yep. No, exactly. I think an issue when the trend started, I was fully against it at the start. And then as I've came around, like realizing, again, there's certain people where it totally makes sense for. I just don't like the idea of necessarily mass marketing it. I don't think it's a solution for everyone, but I think it's a solution for a lot of people. I'm going to take a middle to take road, because that's what I take a lot of the times.
Well, and you have a fine point there. And it's a point that is not just happening in the GLP-1 space. It is actually happening with functional medicine and Western, Western medicine and bioidentical hormone replacement therapy and, cleanses. And social media has really made the health industry a profitable industry.
Yeah.
So now we have people using things like buzzword, root cause. Well, let's fix your root cause by putting you on hormone replacement therapy. Well, that makes no freaking sense, because if you put hormones into an environment that caused them to be a problem in the first place, likely they're not going to work the way that they should. So we see a lot of this space that has become profitable, and it has made it really difficult for somebody that is trying to get healthy to embark on their journey, because they have so much noise coming from everywhere. And like, how do you pick the right doctor? How do you pick the right coach? How do you pick a care team around you that can help you be successful? Because nowadays it's real hard to figure out, like, somebody might sound good on in social media, but every one of their posts may be ChatGPT, or maybe they're just somebody that goes in and they just prescribe the hell out of stuff and get paid for it, you know? And so the health and fitness industry has become lucrative if you can make something be wrong with somebody. So that's a space that I've found myself falling into, is what can we do? Like, the people that are truly passionate about helping people get better, they're not going to care about all the fancy bells and whistles.
Yeah,
they're going to help somebody just be better. Sometimes that might look like hormone replacement therapy or Ozempic or gut protocols or whatever it may be. Like, it depends on how much of a negative your bank account is in, right? Like, there is a point where people end up in a really poor health outcome. And now we have to do this. Like, sorry, it is the strict diet. It is this. And unfortunately, there are places where moderation doesn't work anymore because our debt is so big. You can't get a giant debt and then still spend $100 a week on your credit card and expect to pay it off. So there is some nuance there, and you have to be realistic with who you're working with as well. But so that's kind of the take on that, is that the people that are really interested in helping people will help them regardless of if it's even working with myself or certain people, right? So if somebody needs help from me and I can't give it to them, I have a network. That's something that needs to be talked about, is like, you and I, we go to Real Coaches Summit and we go to these continuing education events and things like that. We are not seeing coaches and personal trainers do that.
Yeah.
But the thing is you have an availability to build a network around you when you go to these events of people that can help you, where I could reach out and be like, hey, Ryan, I know you're good at this. I have a client dealing with this. Maybe I could refer them to you, or maybe you can give me some information on them. And we build this network so we can best help our clients, because in the end, the people that are helping people, and it's not just about making a dollar, are going to be the people that get the most clients. So they have to keep that in mind.
Well, and I think that was one of the biggest things I did from my starting, is like, I have a trainer over in Bozeman who was honestly one of the biggest mentors I've ever had. And then having like chiropractors and PTs and people like that you can reach out to with questions. Cause again, there's so much of the time, all it takes from is like a simple text over to that person to like maybe avoid a whole appointment, or to know whether the client needs an appointment and things like that. It's cause you know, you've had clients where, you know, you tell them, go see a chiro, go see a PT. A lot of times they're not going to do it unless you like really force them to do it. So sometimes you just need to message someone and find like, hey, is this worth them seeing you for? Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're not going to have all the answers. Like you said, it's like, we've got to have that network that helps us to address all the questions that aren't for us, basically.
Absolutely. And that can be really great, Ryan. Just an example of that is I had a client recently, not so recently, but she was on birth control for a very long time. They were using it to control her PCOS. Anyway, long and the short of it is she had a lot of other things that needed to be taken care of. We were able to take care of them. However, her thyroid still didn't bounce back the way I wanted. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. And so I reached out to a functional medicine doctor in her area, and we talked about it, and they asked me 8 million questions. And she was like, honestly, you have done everything that I would do. So I don't think referring her out at this point is going to be helpful to either of you guys. She's like, I think you need to stay the course, because sometimes post-birth control therapy can take up to 3 years to normalize. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, I mean, sometimes we as coaches are unrealistic about things too. So it was good to have somebody back that up and be like, no, you're doing great. Continue on that path. So,
So if someone was looking for, like, say, a functional medical person, what were some things you would have them make sure to look for if they're trying to determine whether or not the person they're considering is qualified or not?
So this has become the tricky thing in the space. And when I first started getting into this and I was working with functional medicine providers, they were amazing. It was just incredible. But the way you have to figure is they are also being preyed upon with marketing as well. So we have these, not to dog on companies, but I'm going to dog on a company right now. We have these companies, for example, a big one is like Cellcore. Cellcore is a supplement company. They make fantastic products, but they also put on these conferences where they allow coaches and educate, you know, doctors, yeah, nurses, all these people come, and then they tell them why they need to use their supplement in mm-hmm. the treatment of all of these things, mold, Lyme disease, blah, 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 hormonal dysfunction. And the providers come back and they're so excited about it. And next thing you know, they're giving people $2,000 treatment plans, supplement treatment plans, right? Because mm-hmm. they believe in it. Somebody told them, it's just like us. We go to a conference, we learn some things. We're like, yeah, we want to apply it, right? Same thing happens in medicine. It's still propaganda. Mm-hmm. So I would say if you are a coach, getting out and talking to your local functional medicine practitioners is mm-hmm. huge. Get a feel for their personality. Get a feel for if there's somebody that likes to prescribe. Get a feel for if there's somebody that has reasonable expectations with somebody's health outcomes. Like if mm-hmm. we have John who works 80 hours a week, stressful job, you know, low testosterone, and we send him over to a functional medicine provider and they're like, here's some TRT. Well, yeah. John eats McDonald's every day and he never gets away from his computer. And likely there could have been some things that we could have done to improve John's life before adding hormones and stuff. I'm not saying don't add hormones, because also we have to talk to John and be like, hey, John, you may be a candidate for bioidentical hormone replacement. I think we could work with this naturally. Could we run 10 to 12 weeks of doing XYZ and see how much we're able to improve this? And then we just saved you a lifetime of being on a hormone.
Yeah.
Or do we send him into a functional medicine office that almost certainly is going to be like, John, your testosterone's 200. Here's some testosterone replacement. See you later. You're on it for life now.
Yeah. When I met with a functional medical person a couple of years ago, that's what I was so impressed with. I mean, I think it was 90 minutes of questions before we addressed anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, having came from like a conventional model where you're just so used to like, you're trying to get in your questions in like 5 minutes because you know eventually they're going to cut you off. It's like, it was just so refreshing to see, make sure someone was like checking every single base before they just, you know, hand you this prescription and walk away. It's a huge difference. And it's, I think it gives a lot more confidence to the client as well, because you feel like you were actually listened to versus like, did I even get to the right thing?
Correct. And so that's where you literally, as a coach, even you can reach out to all your local functional medicine professionals or even some online ones and be like, hey, I would like to do lunch, or I would like to do coffee, or mm-hmm. I would like to do a Zoom meeting. I would just want to understand what your foundations are in your practice. What's your way of thinking? You know, mm-hmm. what do you do to help people be successful outside of prescribing things too? Because that's huge. Everybody has a different business model. There are a lot out there that want to just put people on medication, even in the functional medicine space. And maybe mm-hmm. John, our friend who has 200 testosterone, maybe he doesn't want to fix anything. Maybe he's happy with the life he has. He's happy with McDonald's. And if he's like, Connie, there's the chances of me making a change are zero. Then I'm going to say, mm-hmm. okay, here's this functional medicine clinic. Get down there. They'll have a talk with you. Go on TRT.
Yeah,
whatever, you know, and there's plenty of that in the space, and it's not wrong. Like, mm-hmm. but at one point, you know, it kind of goes back to our original where we have to learn to walk or drive or learn how to yep. get there. Right. Maybe John's just not arrived at the place where he needs to learn how to get there yet. So mm-hmm. anyway, that's enough picking on John and Karen, but that's the foundation of it all.
No, but I do. And kind of what you're saying too is I love how most, I feel like, reputable people are willing to do like a 5 or 10 minute consult call before meeting with you. It's because, again, like once you're there and you're committed, you're going to follow the plan regardless of what they say. It's kind of nice to just, you know, even give 5 or 10 minutes free to someone and be like, okay, here's kind of an idea of how I work before we commit to thousands of dollars, potentially, especially.
Right. And then the other thing is if somebody is willing, so if John is willing to do that 10 to 12 weeks of seeing if he can make some lifestyle changes and improve mm-hmm. his health naturally, what do you have to lose? Really?
Exactly.
I mean, even 8 weeks, if somebody's like really impatient, you're like, well, just give me 8 weeks. Can we do this for 8 weeks? It's mm-hmm. amazing what you can see. And this is where it goes back to, you can't manage what you don't measure. Right. But in mm-hmm. most cases, especially in the new keyword functional medicine space, in most cases, if you do make some changes for somebody in 10 to 12 weeks, you can see if you were able to move the needle from multiple perspectives, not just labs either, like from sustainability, mental health, like all the things. Like if that person did all these things for 10 to 12 weeks, is it something that they could apply indefinitely. Like, we would learn all of these things, not just the lab numbers. And so in a lot of these functional medicine, quotey quotes, cases, we can learn, like, A, they're not something that's going to have, somebody's going to die from, right? So a lot of these key terms that people are using now, like low estrogen, low progesterone, low testosterone, HPA axis dysfunction, gut, I'm trying to come up with all of them, right? Yeah. Gut things, liver detox, many of these things are not going to kill someone, right? So we're able to make lifestyle choices and see what happens. Now, there are cases where you might look at their labs and go, you know, I think we can make some changes here, but I do want you to see a doctor in the meantime. This is what I would recommend, blah, 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 blah. You know, get them pointed at the right direction so that you're not doing them a disservice either. So fortunately for me, I had, a couple of years ago, I had a client that was 10 weeks into working with me and she had a heart attack. And yeah, and it had me going, oh my gosh, what did I miss here? Because there were signs. There were definitely signs. She was working with a doctor already, so I didn't send her to somebody. I just said, hey, your inflammation is through the roof. You're at risk of a cardiac event. You know, she was already working with a doctor. They had not run a lipids panel on her as I had requested. And at the time, I couldn't order my own stuff. This is probably 5 years ago now. And I remember going, okay, this lady's liver enzymes are through the roof. Her C-reactive protein was through the roof. She had severe insulin resistance. And I was like, you are like a prime candidate for having major heart issues or stroke or something. So anyway, I ended up doing like this pretty significant health rehab. And 10 weeks later, she has this heart attack. And actually, we had significantly improved her numbers so much, they said probably she would have died if they would have been the numbers they were. Yeah. Prior. So, and it was interesting because they wanted her to bring all the supplements she was on and stuff into the office. And when she did, they were like, oh, none of this would cause any health problems. It's just a bunch of chalk and water is what they told her. And then they looked at her labs and they're like, wow, how did you make changes like this? And in 10 weeks, and she was like, the chalk and water, you know? So yeah, like in cases of things though, where you have like some down regulated thyroid, I'm not saying bottomed out, but rarely do you see somebody's thyroid bottomed out, you know? But in cases of down regulated thyroid and progesterone and testosterone and estrogen and all these key words these days, many of those things are things where you can make a significant lifestyle change, maybe incorporate some supplementation in the forms of like things that people are deficient in, zinc, magnesium, stuff like that, selenium. And then see if you were able to move the needle. If you were, cool. Maybe we can avoid going to functional medicine in entirety. So
to finish up, I just wanted to ask you a couple of quick hitter questions on some of the stuff that I've seen with your social media. So one was just, how would you determine for someone who thinks that they're in a calorie deficit, but they're not losing weight? What would you say to that?
So I told you I wouldn't dive down any rabbit holes. Yeah. Here we go. The tricky part is so you have this clash of people right now that are like, a calorie deficit is a calorie deficit. And then you have people saying, well, the reason you can't lose weight is your thyroid or your hormones or whatever. The thing is the thyroid or hormones may be causing you to need more of a calorie deficit because your metabolism is downregulated. So that's something that people don't understand. Now, should you press people into crazy caloric deficits because they're not being successful with what they have tried and it's starting to get down there, you know, in the calorie range? That's where you need to maybe start seeing, okay, what's going on with this person? Because in somebody that is hormonally downregulated or dealing with the adrenal stuff or whatever the keywords are out there, right? You may need to address some of that stuff before you ask for a true fat loss stage. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't be in a reasonable caloric amount and maintain where we're at, but we may need some other things that need to be addressed first prior to asking for fat loss. And that's just fine. Sometimes you go through a rehab phase. It's not a reverse dieting phase. That's another thing, right? It is a phase where we work on our health. We eat a healthy diet. We are okay with maintaining where we're at, even if it's pounds that needs to be lost, because maybe we need to work on some of the other health outcomes. Oftentimes those health outcomes also come with nutrition as well. So when you get to that place, that's not a deficit, maybe it's maintenance, maybe it's slightly out of, right? You are going to change nutrition in a healthy way anyways. nine times out of 10. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see changes in the health outcome further on down the road with that. So I think the biggest thing with that is going to be patience and understanding from the client as well.
Mm-hmm. Last one I had, because I know this has been a couple of your rants as well, is what would you say to people who feel like they're too busy for meal prep?
Oh boy, you don't even want to get me on that one. So meal prep changed my life. I'll just tell people that right now. I worked as a coach and a full-time dentistry job for many years, and I have kids, and I have like my own athletic endeavors going on and crazy. My house is a three-ring circus. I'm literally the busiest person I know. It's so good for so many reasons. One prime example of this is I literally had a client the other day. She was like, I can't believe how much money I am saving now. I am not eating out. She's like, it is incredible. And there's nothing left in her fridge at the end of the week. Nothing has gone to waste because it's all been planned out. So meal prep will change your life. I can't say anything bad about it, honestly. Maybe you're just not a person that's a cook, but honestly, you can meal prep and not be a cook. Now we got air fryers. We got all the things, right? Instapots. What you don't measure, you can't manage. So we've got that. Mm. We've also got, who has time to not meal prep? I don't cook during the week. I can hardly take care of myself during the week. I'm not cooking for my family. I literally meal prep for my husband, my children. They know what containers are theirs. They're color coded. They go and they grab them and just put a significant amount of time and effort into getting good at it. I was not good at it when I started, and it will change your life.
I literally, I did a post on the other day. I said, I'm the same way. Like, I actually don't like the act of meal prepping, but it's like, I don't have time to cook four meals a day. Like, I'm not going to do that. It's like, if I can spend 1 hour on Sunday and then eliminates, 20 meals of the week, it's like, I can't afford not to do it.
And it takes so much, like from a logging aspect, like logging your food, log it on Sunday and repeat the day for the week. And if you have to make a little tweak somewhere, so easy, right? And people, please don't overcomplicate this. I know it might sound crazy, but I'm so dang busy sometimes. I literally have to get some gluten-free Annie's mac and cheese at the freaking store. Each container is 2.5 servings. Yeah. I usually get two containers because that's 5 days. That's my work week, right? I get broccoli. I get chicken or ground beef. I cook that up and I cook the mac and cheese and I portion it out and I'm done. It literally took me 30 minutes, done.
Again, I think that's where people make the mistake, is like they think every single week has to be, four new meals. And it's just like, you're going to burn yourself out so fast. Like, even if you were like a, stay at home person, that's going to be tricky. It's like, start with simple. It's like, you can always make small adjustments. It's like, start small and just, grow as you need to, basically.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So Connie, where can people find you on social media?
So they can just head on over to Connie Begonnie. So CONNIEBEGONNIE. I was given that when I was 11, and that's just been my thing. I don't have any Connie fitness or anything special like that, but, you can go on and type Connie Begonnie. You'll find me, you'll see pictures of chickens and probably pictures of me powerlifting, 'cause that's what I do. You can pop on over to my website, connienightingale.com. I can order labs now directly, which saves people a ton of money. So that's kind of fun and exciting. That's how you find me.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thanks. We'll see you guys next episode.